We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, God, in this place. Now, Father God, as we prepare to expound upon your word, open up our ears that we may hear, open up our hearts that we may receive, open up our spirits so that your will, not our will be done in our lives. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. When I open my mouth, Lord, speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who came during this time to bring joy and peace and your favor upon mankind. And so now, God, bless your people in this place. Bless those we're lifting up in prayer. Bless this whole country. Bless this whole world. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we are, church. Amen. We give praise and honor to God today, who is truly the head of our lives. Amen. Who have been keeping us and sustaining us along the way. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the house of God today. Amen. I have a scripture we're going to read today, just one verse out of Luke chapter 1, verse number 7. Amen. And it reads like this. It says, but they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive. And both of them were well along in years. Amen. I'm going to say it again. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive. And both of them were well along in years. Amen. Can I say it one more time? Because it's a short scripture. I want you to get this in your spirit right now. I want you to get this in your spirit. But they had no children. Why, Pastor? Because Elizabeth could not conceive. Why would you think that, Pastor? Because both of them was well along in years. Amen. Today is our third week of Rediscover Christmas. Good news in troubling time. And today we're going to focus on this thought. Finding joy in our discouragements. Amen. Look at somebody, tell them, finding joy under the mask. Tell them, finding joy in the midst of a pandemic. Yeah, tell them, finding joy in the midst of unemployment. Hello, somebody, say, finding joy in the midst of my haters hating on me when I'm already having a time of discouragement. Tell somebody, I'm still finding joy. Amen. In my discouragement. Amen. Discouragement. A loss of confidence or enthusiasm or dispiritedness. Amen. You don't have no more confidence. Something done happened in your life. You don't have that zeal anymore. Amen. The brightness is no longer in your eyes. Amen. But the Bible said the eyes is the windows to the soul. Amen. I don't care if you got a mask on. I can still look at your eyes. Hello. Your eyes going to tell the whole story. Amen. I don't care what you do to them. They're going to still tell the story. Amen. Amen. I can just look at you. Amen. You know you can look at some folk. Amen. You ain't got to see their whole face. Just look at their eyes. You can tell if they happy or sad or if they disturbed. You can just look at their eyes. Amen. And in the world we're living in right now, there's a lot of discouragement going on. We all have one of those days, amen, or weeks, or even a year like 2020, when our lives have been full of discouragement. We thought we can go on vacation, but we couldn't. We wanted to go to Dave and Buster's, but we didn't. Hello, somebody. Amen. We wanted to celebrate our birthday, but it was on Zoom. Hello, 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 hello. Amen. Discouragement, discouragement. Over and over again during this year, our lives have been full of discouragement. But I have come to encourage somebody this morning. Even in the midst of discouragement, Christ can fill us with joy that defies all of your circumstances. Can I get a witness? Amen. I only got a few people this morning. I got a few people. Everybody's still under that discouragement piece. Amen. They haven't let Christ bring the joy in that. But let me keep preaching. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. King David wrote in the Psalms, he said, weeping may stay for the night. Hello, somebody. Hello, hello. I like this version in the NIV. It said, weeping may stay for the night, like it checked into your life. But it's just going to stay. For it's just like getting a hotel room. You ain't gonna be that long. You ain't gonna be that long. Just stay for the night. But rejoicing comes in the morning. Look at somebody and tell them your morning is coming. Tell them your morning is coming. We gotta understand. Sometimes I know that night can feel like a long night. Amen. But trouble don't last always. Sometimes it's night after night after night. And we try to carry on, but sometimes happiness feels so elusive and so distant. Sometimes it pours out like an eruption. And sometimes it pours out like it's being very elusive and bubbling up slowly. But as we rediscover this Christmas, the good news of the great joy that Christ brings and the life that he brings to us, Jesus is the strength that will sustain us even in our times of discouragement. Joy. It's a trait that we're exploring today. If you've been journeying with us these past few weeks towards Christmas, you know that we have been celebrating the Advent. Advent means coming or the arrival. And the Christmas season is marked by an expectation, a waiting, an anticipation, and a longing. Each week we have been focusing on different attributes of God represented in the coming of Jesus. We started 2 weeks ago. With hope. Amen. Praise God for Minister Lee. He started us off with hope. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Last week, we talked about peace. Hello, somebody. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about joy. Next week, we're going to end it with love. So you got to come back for the whole series. You got to be, you know, this is like a series on TV. You got to get all the episodes. Amen. Amen. And so through these traits, we're learning how we can rediscover Christmas despite the challenges, the hardship, the pain, the difficulties, the death, or the disease that we might be experiencing even during this time of a pandemic. Because Christ has come to be God with us. Can I get a witness? We can experience joy, hello, no matter what discouragement we may be going through today. I want to talk about two people today, Elizabeth and Mary, and a mother's joy. Is that all right? Yeah. They part of the Christmas story. Amen. There's a lot of joy throughout the biblical Christmas story, especially early in the story. But it's important to note that this joy isn't separate from the pain and disappointment that was going on at the same time. In fact, much of this joy is born out of a long disappointment and grief to those that it came to. We're going to look at more closely at this as we explore the stories and the experience of Elizabeth and Mary today. Luke's Christmas story begins a little earlier than Mary and Joseph and Jesus, with a prophet named Zechariah and his wife named Elizabeth. Amen. Luke starts off like this. He says, in the time of King Herod, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Listen, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they both were very old. In this short paragraph, it would have spoken volumes of information to the original audience. We got King Herod, who was a corrupt king, who kept the Jews under harsh Roman control. It was a very difficult time for Christians. Amen. And there we have, in the midst of all of this, is Zechariah and Elizabeth. Both of them are priestly lineage. In a day with a lot of religious corruption and power plays, even by the Pharisees and Sadducees, all scrambling for power and position. But yet Zechariah and Elizabeth was different than the norm. What can the world say about you today? Can they say you different than the norm? Can they say there's something special about you? Can God look at you and count you as righteous in a day of a land of corruption? Amen. Amen. Can God look at you now and say there's something different? Amen. About you and your life. They are described as blameless and faithful. This is especially important in Luke, in light of what Luke tells us in the next scripture. He says, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they old and never been able to have children. They were discouraged. You know what it's like not to have a child back then? Amen. But that changed all of a sudden, miraculously, when the archangel Gabriel showed up and tells Zechariah that his wife is going to have a son. Hold on, can I put a pin in it right there? I'm old. I don't have children's church right now. But y'all get the picture. I'm old. My wife had been barren for years, and you coming to tell us that now we going to have a child? Lord, give me strength. It's a powerful prophetic son. And you tell me he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah? Zechariah is overwhelmed and he can hardly believe this news, but he questions the news and say, okay. How this going to happen? I'm old. Amen. Then the angel said, okay, here's your sign. You won't be able to speak until the child is born. Hallelujah. Since you didn't believe me, shut your mouth until what I said comes true. Amen. Amen. That's what he's telling him. He's telling him. And the prophet left and he started writing and giving sign language, trying to explain to people what happened. Even when they tried to tell him what to name the baby, he knew what to name the baby and he wrote it down. Read y'all Bible. He wrote it down. Said his name is to be John. Y'all follow along with the story because that John is John the Baptist. Amen. It seems though that Elizabeth is quicker to believe the news. Well, she's quicker to believe it than Zechariah because she's old too. Amen. Because her desire was in the will of God. Shut up straight. She was hoping, wishing, and praying. And when you've been hoping, wishing, and praying for something, and God reveals it to you, you better believe what God said, because what's for you is for you. Can I get a witness? 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 Amen. She believed quicker. And when she becomes pregnant, look at what she says. She said, the Lord, Lord Jesus, not Zechariah. He might have participated. He's been participating a long time. And ain't nothing. Shut up, straight horn. The Lord. Y'all better get this in your spirit. You better know who do things for you. It ain't that other person. It ain't your mama. It ain't your daddy. It ain't your spouse. You better get this in your spirit. She said, the Lord has done this for me. What God has for me is for me. In these days, he has shown his favor. I would love to have the favor. I'd rather have the favor of God than all the money in the world. In these days, somebody should be shouting right now, because these days is bad enough by themselves. And God has shown his favor on somebody in this house today. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace. Y'all get what she's saying? And taken away my disgrace from among my haters. From those talking about me because I'm old and don't have no kids. He has taken away my disgrace among the people. And there's an odd note in the previous verse that tells us that Elizabeth went into seclusion for the first 5 months of her pregnancy. Maybe this has something to do with Elizabeth's disgrace, as she mentioned in the scripture. For her, the inability to have children would have been a lifelong source of pain and sorrow and shame. It was a big deal in that culture. The great hope of a young couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, would have eventually faded away through the years as they tried repeatedly to have a child. You don't know. You don't know. She probably started questioning herself. What's wrong with me? Or what's wrong with Zechariah? Amen. And probably would have questioned, unfairly casting suspicion and unfounded blame even on herself. Perhaps maybe they had some pregnancies to speak of with some new hope, but then they had a miscarriage to dash those hopes with grief and loss. Elizabeth's self-worth probably sunk as the years passed on and hope got dim. And at some point, she and everybody around her would have declared her barren and branded her with this lifelong stigma. Maybe this is why she stayed in seclusion, for 5 months, keeping to herself, to let her hopes blossom into joy personally, or to ensure that this time, what's inside of me is going to hold on. Amen. It's going to last. Maybe she was simply savoring these days. And look what God done did. Oh, God. Didn't want no haters around. Didn't want no negativity around. Didn't want that to get in her, because they said it's going to be a holy thing. Yeah. Amen. You better watch who's speaking to your unborn child. Hallelujah. Mary received news gracefully and willingly, but at some point early on, Mary must have known. Amen. And this is where you would get this piece in the movie. If we was watching a movie, down in the subtitle, it would say, "Meanwhile in Galilee," while Elizabeth was rubbing her belly. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, Gabriel makes another earthly appearance, this time to Mary. And she's delivering the most miraculous pregnancy announcement of all. "You pregnant, girl." But Joseph didn't have nothing to do with it. "What's in you is a holy thing." Y'all better watch out now. Y'all better watch out. Man ain't got nothing to do with what's in you. This came straight from God. "The Holy Ghost will come upon you and overshadow you, and you will conceive a child." Amen. She received that news gracefully and willingly. At some point, she must have known that the challenges and disgrace was about to begin. Because guess what? Scorn and shame comes when you ain't married and you pregnant. Hello. 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 Amen. How do you make people believe that the baby in your womb is a holy thing? How are you going to tell somebody God did it? And you ain't married. You going, "Look, the angel came, spoke to me, told me I'm going to have this baby because the Holy Ghost came up on me and impregnated." No, no, Mary. That ain't what we was taught in school. It takes two to make a baby. You can't do this on your own. Well, I'm trying to tell you, it's a holy thing. It's a, no. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. We got to understand, even Joseph, can you imagine you engaged to this young woman who's supposed to be a virgin and she shows up pregnant? Joseph, being a right, he was going to put her away quietly. Like, I ain't going to try to shame you, girl, but this baby ain't mine. I ain't going on Maury Povich trying to find out nothing. Amen. I ain't the one. So we're just going to dissolve this thing quietly, and I'll let you go on your way. Is that all right? All right, that's going to be cool. But that night, how many of you know God can make something turn around? God spoke to that brother and said, no, don't you run out. You stay right there, because it is holy. Hello, somebody. Amen. Because maybe that's why, as Luke tells the story to us, Mary hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea. Mary must have heard about her relative, her cousin Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy. And if anybody would understand what happened to me, it's got to be Elizabeth, because something done happened to that girl over there too. She might have thought, amen. And she was right. Listen. This is where the joy erupts in this predicament, this situation, against the backdrop of discouragement, of being barren, of being a virgin, of disgrace, of grief and shame. The joy comes bursting through for these two mothers to be. First lady gonna come and talk to us about that. Amen. Come on, first lady.
Luke 1:41-45 out of the NIV version.
You don't have a clip on. There you go.
When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
My God.
In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you would bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my child should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." What a relief this must have been to Mary. She didn't have to explain herself. She didn't have to worry anymore about being understood. All she had to do was say hello, and Elizabeth knew. Even her developing baby knew and leaped within her. This was just the affirmation and encouragement Mary needed. Her joy came bursting through as well, and she sang and praised and thanked God. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but have lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is a beautiful passage of scripture. On one level, it celebrates and connects in the midst of miraculous events. But on another level, it's two expectant mothers sharing a deep understanding and affirmation that fosters the flow of joy no matter what happened before and what is going to come in the days ahead. The expectation of having a child brings great joy to a mother. There is much we can take away from this story. And Pastor is going to come and we'll focus on 3 points that we can apply to our own experience with joy.
Come on, give the Lord a praise. Amen. Thank you, First Lady. Amen. 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 In the midst of everything that was going on for Elizabeth and Mary, they found joy. Both of them experiencing pregnancy. Both of them are ready to burst out with the holiness of God, that John the Baptist is going to be the forerunner for Jesus. Amen. They're going to have a time that they clash with each other at the Jordan River. Amen. When God sends Jesus to be baptized by John, and John said, hold on, bruh, I'm not even worthy to tie your shoe. But Jesus said, you got to do this so the prophecy can be fulfilled. Amen. And can you imagine when First Lady read in the scripture, said that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, John the Baptist, Lord Jesus, because he knew Jesus was. The Bible said before you was formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. Hello. God know the call on your life. God knows where you're going to be at in your life. God knows the direction for your life. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to do you good and not harm. Plans to prosper you and give you a great hope. God knows you before you was even born. Before you was a spark in your daddy's eye. God already knew you. Oh, I felt that, but Pastor, you don't know my life right now. I may not know your life, but God knows your life. And he knows everything you're going through. And if it's not according to his perfect will and plan, there's something we have done to not line up with his will. And when we don't line up with his will, we get off track. And we end up in places we don't belong. We stay longer than we intended to stay. Cost us more than we want to pay. Come on, somebody. We all done driven off the track somewhere. Don't sit here like you ain't never driven off. Don't sit here like you perfect. Don't sit here like you ain't never had no problem. You ain't got no issues. Amen. All of us, for the Bible said, all have sinned and fallen short. You have fell off the track. You have gotten sidetracked. The devil done pushed you away. You have let things come in your life to upset the plan that God has for you. What is God doing in my life? Let me start by saying this, because I'm going to help somebody today. It's okay to be joyful and happy. I'm going to say it again, because somebody didn't catch it yet. It's okay to be joyful and happy. You don't have to be sad and negative all the time. It's okay. Tell somebody it's okay. Tell them, it's okay. It's okay to be joyful and happy. See, for some of us, it's a no-brainer, because some of us just happy all the time. We don't care, because we have learned, as Paul said, I've learned to be content. No matter what state I find myself in, because I done had a whole lot of money. Woo! I've been a baller. Amen. I've been throwing out the funds. I've been there. But guess what? I've been times when I reached in my pocket and I pulled out some lint and ain't nothing else there. I've been there when the bills done piled up high and high. I've been there. But guess what? Through it all, whether I got something, ain't got nothing, through it all, I've learned I still got joy. I can still laugh. I can still make jokes. I can still laugh at myself. Yeah, I'm poor. I'm broke as a joke. But guess what? God still got me. Yeah. I know I ain't got much. I may not look like much. I might be ugly. May not be much to you. But God made me. Y'all better learn how to choose how to have some joy. I don't care what folk got to say. They ain't got nowhere to put you when you die. You better learn how to give God praise no matter what's going on in your life. It's okay. It's okay. I'm happy already. I'm happy already. I'm happy already. I'm happy already. For others, this term might be subversive. It might be a statement that might make your life a little uncomfortable because you've been stuck up all your life and you ain't. Did I say that? I wasn't supposed to say it like that, but that's how it came out. And can't nothing make you happy. Amen. Folk done tried to make you happy. You done lost a lot of men trying to make, and you just. Wait a minute, I wasn't supposed to say all that. I'm starting to sweat. Let me get my rag. Amen. There's some folk who don't invite you to the party no more. Amen. They like, here's the guest list, but this is the no not invite list. I don't want no party poopers at my party. It depends on where you fall on the spectrum. I know some people are saying even now in the 2020, how can I be joyful when my world is falling apart? All these bad things just keep happening. You know, in March I had a good job. And now I ain't got no job and still ain't had no job. But I ain't seen you miss no meal. Well, you know, Christmas coming up, I ain't got no money. I can't buy no gifts. You already received the gift of Jesus. We probably heard that joy is described in contrast to happiness. Happiness is fleeting and temporary, but joy is deeper and more fulfilling. We've heard that often in our Christian culture, the two get split into happiness as secular and less viable or fulfilling, and joy as spiritual and more important or fulfilling. Is this ringing a bell with somebody? Huh? But in actuality, study your Bible. The Bible doesn't make a distinction between joy and happiness. They are essentially different words for the same thing. They've been translated somewhat differently in our English translation of the Bible, but the original Hebrew and Greek terms used in the Bible to describe joy and happiness are essentially interchangeable. Joy, happiness, it's the same. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, joyful is the man. Amen. So don't try to separate your joyfulness from happy. Hello, somebody. You can have both. You can't tell somebody I can have it all. Somebody need to hear this and be reminded it's okay to want to be happy and joyful. It's okay to enjoy your happy emotions. Just like the devil put you in depression, despondent, negative. All those emotions on the negative side, God can put you on the joy side of life. He said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. There is great joy during this Christmas season. I'm happy and excited about it. Somebody asked me the other day, are you ready for Christmas? No, the question ain't if I'm ready for Christmas. Because you're trying to make it seem like I got to do something for Christmas to come. Christmas is coming whether you're ready or not. And now that we're in 2020, Christmas has already came. Can I get a witness? So no, I ain't getting ready for Christmas. I already got Christmas. I already got my gift. And his name is Jesus. Can I get a witness? Y'all messed me up. Listen. It's hard to find the right balance in our lives between joy and sadness. But those who find ourselves driven by obligations and the busyness of life and the guilt in the season, it's okay to just stop. Learn how to say no. Wait a minute. Hold on. Can somebody spell anointing for me? What is it? There's a no in the anointing. So it ain't nothing wrong with saying no if it's going to mess up your anointing. Can I get a witness? We don't have to always try to please people. Because sometimes when you try to please people, you lose your anointing. And we got to understand that sometimes the anointing calls you to be, not snooty, but anointed. And when there's an anointed call on your life, everybody can't get with that. Everybody can't get with your anointing. So don't get mad at people when they mad at your anointing, because they ain't mad at you. They mad at the anointing that God put on your life. And all you trying to do is do what God called you to do. And if that rubs up against them some kind of wrong way, you ain't got nothing to do with it. That's just God using you, trying to bring out something in them. You gotta learn. Don't run from your anointing, because everybody ain't gonna like you. God calls us sometime in some very hateful territory. Some of us know we own our job and it's some hateful territory. But God put you there for a reason. And until God call you out, you stay where the anointing is with God. You gotta clearly understand, the devil knows there's a call on your... See, some of us gotta understand, the devil sees the anointing on your life. The devil sees how God has put a hedge around you. The devil can see how God has anointed you to be above the call and beyond whatever he tried to do to you, because he'll go tell God on you like he did with Job. Well, Lord, you know he won't do that because you got this hedge around you. That's why he prays you the way he prays you. That's why he loves you the way he loves you. That's why he does the thing he does. That's why he righteous and upright in your sight. Because you have put this hedge around. You done gave him all of this. You done gave him all that. Let me touch his life, Lord, and I'll make him touch you to your face. And some of us have been called to Front Street. Amen. God has called you by name in front of the devil and said, have you considered Strayhorn? Have you considered Conley? Have you considered Alexander? Have you considered Lyles? Have you considered Terry? Have you considered my children? Why would he consider you? Because he knows. He won't put no more on you than you can bear, because the devil still got to ask for permission no matter what he try to do. So it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to stop and pause and embrace this season and bring in some personal happiness. And for those of you who find Christmas to be a painful, difficult season, to those of you who are hurting or grieving personal loss, or feeling discouraged by a tremendous year this year, that we've been going through. And then those of you who are just tired, it's okay to feel, but it's also okay to embrace the joy, because God sees you no matter where you are on your emotional spectrum of happiness or being sad. My point here is that our longing for happiness and joy is a natural desire. It's natural to want to be happy. It's natural to want to be joyous. God has placed that within us. For the fruits of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. Just stop right there. So being happy, ain't nothing wrong with it. Be happy. Let your haters hate, but you be happy. Play some, what's the guy named Pharrell? Play some for, cause I'm happy. Because I'm happy. Y'all better learn how to get there. Y'all better learn how to get there. Y'all better learn. Y'all better learn how to get there. Why do I got to get it? Because joy is our strength. I got to go. Y'all messing me up. Joy is our strength. Huh? There are great examples of this principle in the story of Nehemiah. Y'all remember Nehemiah, don't you? In the Old Testament, who was the leader who got permission from the king to return from Babylon to go back to rebuild the walls surrounding Jerusalem. Y'all remember? The process was more than just a return to the physical city. It was a spiritual awakening for the people. In chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah, he brings all the people together and they bring out the law of Moses and they read it. And Nehemiah is calling the people to remember and to return to their relationship with God. Huh? And as he does this, the people are weeping. Maybe there are some tears of joy from some of the people who remember God's word from years past. But most of them was weeping from the sadness as they recognized their guilt and drifting away from God. So here's the beauty in the midst of this scene today. The Bible tells us, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day, y'all better get there. I don't care what day it is, you can declare that day a this day. I don't care what you're going through. You can declare that day this day. As the Bible tells us, this day is a day that the Lord has made. I will and be glad. And then tell them like I tell y'all on Sunday, don't mess it up. But here's the secret to it. I can tell you not to mess it up, but it's up to me to keep it. This day, he said, this day is holy to our Lord. So do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he said, celebrate, enjoy. I know the walls ain't built yet, but we're going to get there. Hello, somebody. I know the work still got to be done, but don't wait till the battle is over. You can start. Shut up now. Shut up. Y'all ain't feeling me. You 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 ain't feeling me. Why? Because this is a time for happiness that God has brought us back and restoring our city and our hearts. And because our source of strength is the very joy of the Lord. That's what fuels us. That's what sustains us. Our true source of happiness. Hello, somebody. Our true source of happiness, joy, and fulfillment comes from Jesus Christ. Christmas is a season of joy because the Messiah has brought joy into the world and provided us with the way of ultimately fulfilling our lives and our life's travels. Peter described it like this. Listen to what Peter said. Peter said this. He said, though you have not seen him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, huh? And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Peter is saying, you know what? You should just have joy anyway, because you got Jesus. And so no matter what happens to you in life, nothing can separate you from his love. And all of this is because you ain't seen Jesus. Peter like, I've seen the man. I know what he looked like. I remember that night when I said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And he told me to come. I took a step of faith that nobody else took. I stepped out the boat. And if you read the Bible said, and Peter walked on the water. I don't care what happened after that. He walked. Y'all better hear me. Y'all better hear me. Y'all better hear me. Because some people only see your downfall. They always want to blame you for what? But they didn't see the times when you was walking with God. They didn't see the time when God was helping you along the way. They didn't see the time when God made a way out of no way. They didn't see none of those times. All they saw is when you were sinking, when you took your eyes off of Jesus. They want to keep bringing that up. But he did walk on the water. So Peter's saying, I got joy. You should have joy. I know you haven't seen him, but he's here. It's an inexpressible, glorious joy. Sound like something deep. The kind of joy that finds its source even deeper than our pain and sorrow and the problems that bury us. It's a deep well that we draw upon no matter what we're facing. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that this is a don't worry, be happy plastic smile or fake kind of joy. I'm trying to help somebody. You don't go around ignoring your pain. Hello, somebody. You don't go around ignoring your problems. Amen. But sometimes this joy is a rushing fountain that erupts from our spirit. And sometimes when folk think you should be crying, you end up laughing. And then they looking at you like you crazy. What's wrong? You do realize you just lost your job. You know what? I did lose my... You know what they fired me is they lost because one door closed, God getting ready to open up another one. And guess what? I know the God that I serve, he always bring me out better than when I went in. So they can keep that sad job if they want to, because God got something better for me anyway. I want to encourage you that the joy of the Lord can be felt no matter what we are facing. And let me go on to my final point. Let me get out of here. I got to go. I'm going home. Here's what I said earlier today. I'm going to talk about it right now. We can choose joy. Amen. There are a lot of uses of the word rejoice in the Bible. It is not a word that we use very often in our culture, but maybe we should, when we understand rejoice is the verb form of joy. Amen. It's the action of feeling or expressing joy and delight. So if I'm joyful, I'm going to rejoice. Amen. We got to understand, if you look a little more closely at the word rejoice, you'll notice that it begins with the prefix of re, R-E. Amen. Think back to when you was in grammar class. Somebody, I felt that. Somebody just said, Pastor, that was too long ago. Just bring me up to speed. What you talking about? I don't want to go there. Amen. English wasn't my strong suit anyway. Amen. Or just think of other English words that start with the re, R-E. And you'll remember that this prefix means once more or again or a return to. So to rejoice is to return to joy. Can I get a witness? It is a choice. It is an action we can take to return to joy. I like to add that for us. It's a return to our source of joy. It's a return when we return back to Jesus. Have anybody ever come out of your sin and you find yourself rejoicing? And then you look back and see what you used to be, that you was a had. Do I have any has-beens in the house? And now you are rejoicing. Because you're rejoicing over what you used to be. Hello, hello, hello. That joy you had has now returned. So now you're rejoicing because you had it, but then you lost it somewhere along the line because of the sin in your life. But yet God brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And when he put you, you start to y'all ain't feeling me. Y'all ain't feeling me. Bright Star, I believe this is the only way we can find true delight and satisfaction. And I believe the process is the same for all of us. Whether we're feeling the happiness and joy of the season or not, whether we are buried in discouragement or everything is going our way, none of us can conjure or end up supplying a feeling of goodness in our lives on our own. No matter how optimistic or positive you may naturally be, sooner or later, we all have one of those days, weeks, or year. And in reality, we all have them more often than we want to have them. We're going to have times that sadness is going to hit us. Can I get a witness? And that's where the re comes in. That's where we must return regularly, daily, constantly to Jesus, our source of joy. It's why rejoicing is our process of refueling our tank, restoring our strength, renewing our spirit. It is reconnecting with our Savior. And it is this process that the Apostle James, he wrote, and it all makes sense to me today. And I want to encourage you with this. James chapter 1, 2 to 4, it says, consider it pure. Look at what he says. I'm going home. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Look at somebody and say, he's talking to you. Consider it pure joy, my brother. Whenever you face trials of many kind. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Tell somebody, you better hang in there. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Can I get a witness? I got to admit, sometimes that's the last thing we want to hear when we're hurting. Joy can feel so far away when we're grieving or depressed or afraid as our pain and problems loom in on us. But let me encourage you that James isn't necessarily saying be happy about your trials and problems. He ain't saying that. But what he is saying, he's saying we can find joy in them when we see the bigger picture beyond our problems. What are you talking about, preacher? The bigger picture that God is working for our good in every situation. I'm going to say it again. Put it up on the screen. The bigger picture that God is working for our good in every situation. That's the bigger picture, not your problem. Trouble don't last always. Even in your trouble, God is turning it around for your good. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. that bigger picture starts with our source in Jesus. In the difficult times, there's much encouragement to be found in the rejoice of the Psalms. Psalm 13, go back and read it when you got time. But I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of it. Listen, Psalm 13 is a great example. It begins with the painful cry. How long, Lord? How long will you forget? Will you forget me forever? That's the first verse. But as you keep reading it, it ends with the reminder and declaration. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. This is just one of many examples in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is honest, it's raw, and the writer pours out their feelings like prayers, like psalms, like poems. Then we see them transition through the process of remembering and stirring themselves to rejoice and find strength in and from God. This is where and how we find authentic joy is in the word of God. But I dare you. I dare you. I dare you. I'm going home now. I dare you. I dare you to look back and remember. I'm talking to somebody now. I dare you to look back and remember when God stepped in on time. Can I get a witness in the building? I dare you to look back and remember it was nobody but God. I dare you to look back and remember when the accident should have killed you. That's my testimony. 1981, the accident should have killed me. I should have been dead. I'm telling you, church, I should have been dead because the car was totaled. It flipped upside down 4 or 5 times, upside down on the road. Then it ended up upside down, spinning on the road. Like, I should have been dead. Should have been hurt. I should have been crippled. Something should have been broken. But I crawled out. All I had was a scratch on my leg. Paramedics came, looked at the car, looked at me, looked at the car, looked at me and said, I don't know who you are, but there's a call on your life. I'm 20 years old. I didn't know what that mean at the time. I'm like, I'm more worried about what my daddy gonna do to me because I tore up the car. When you're young and dumb, you just think you're supposed to survive stuff like that. But now that I look back, I should have been dead. Can I go back for just a second? God knew the call on my life before I was formed in my mama's womb. So the car accident couldn't kill me until I got to here today. Y'all better hear me. Y'all better hear me. When there is a call on your life, I don't care what the devil try to do, it won't prosper until God say so. I dare you, I dare you, I dare you, I dare you to look back and remember when the sickness should have left you blind, crippled, and out of your mind. I dare you to look back and remember when the devil tried to kill your family, steal your joy, or destroy your reputation. I dare you to look back, because as we look back and remember, we start to get stronger in our faith, knowing that it was the Lord that did that thing. So I choose to rejoice and have joy because I'm still alive. Huh? Can I get a witness? Look at somebody, tell them I'm still here. You better tell them, you better tell them I'm still here. Amen. You better tell them I'm still here. Yeah. There's some folk who wish you wasn't here, but you better tell somebody I'm still here. You better act like you know something. You better act like you're glad about it. I'm still here. This is how we can celebrate this season, knowing and remembering who Jesus is in our life and how he made ways out of no ways. Let us rediscover this Christmas by embracing joy no matter what we're going through. I don't care if you can't have your family over or not, have a Zoom call. If you can't have a Zoom call, FaceTime. I don't care what you got to do, do something. Call them. Phone calls still work too, you know. Amen. Some of that, like, we don't know what a phone is. Amen. We just want to send a text. Merry Christmas, Mitch. Yeah, most of y'all get texts from me. I'll send you a Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving, whatever. I'm going to send you one for Christmas. I'm going to send you a text. Amen. There's too many of y'all. I ain't calling all y'all. Amen. I might this year, though. You better watch out. You better watch out. Amen. 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 But we got to embrace the joy. Bring some happiness into somebody else's life. Amen. That takes the worry and take your mind off your own problems when you're making somebody else happy. Amen. So I want to encourage you to do that today. Let's choose and continue in the process of rejoicing despite the pain and challenges that we're facing. Amen. Let the devil know that he can't destroy your joy. Because this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Give the Lord a praise today. We praise God for all of you today. Have a Merry Christmas. Amen. In 5 days, enjoy your Christmas and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. At home, have a Merry Christmas and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Jesus said he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, talking about the door of your heart. If any man would open the door and let me in, he promised to come into us, and he was set with us, and we were set with him. He made it that simple.